Alrighty, so now that you're all refreshed after that break, thank you for everyone who made something or brought something along, like it was actually really delicious. I want to begin by telling a little story of mine. So when I was 18, I had had a pretty good job. And I originally asked my two older brothers to buy a house with me in Ravenswood, just before it was all getting developed. And they both scoped out the area and then thought about it. And then decided for themselves, we're not going to do that with you, we're going to do it for ourselves. So they went off and built their first homes. So I was like, great, what am I going to do now? So I spontaneously went and bought a car. It was a bright orange Ford Focus XR5 Turbo. It's a super fast car. And I thought I was the bee's knees. I had the fastest car in the family. So then I thought, what else can I do? So I went and got some plates to go with it. And if anyone saw that car, you would have saw these plates. And so you probably would have seen the car driving around, a bright orange car with these bright orange plates that said, focus on me. Now, when I was 18, I wasn't a follower of the Lord. And I thought everything was about me. So I was proud to be driving around in that look at me car. But now, I'm glad it's gone. But it's interesting how the Lord gives us messages, even though it's through a simple number plate. So the Melbourne Cup that had just gone, I decided to go to Woolworths at 12 p.m. when the Cup was starting and they're doing all the races, hoping that it'd be really quiet at the shops and relatively a pain-free experience. I needed to do a big shop, so I left my five-month-old with my mum, and I'm like, yes, it's time to get this done. So I walk into Woolies and commence my shopping, and it was an absolute nightmare for me. Every aisle I went down, there was just one elderly person making my day worse. They were either taking up the entire aisle whilst walking super slow, leaving their trolleys in the middle of the aisle, you name it, they did it. And in the meanwhile, I'm getting super annoyed in my head, yelling, come on, just move it, get out of the way. Now, I know you're all thinking that that is not how a Christian should think. I didn't act any different. I just did the polite, excuse me, and then I moved along past them. But in my mind, I was thinking not very nice things. But you are right, we are all sinners and all fall short of the glory of God, and I should not have been thinking that at all. But then God in his divine and perfect glory shuts down my self-centered righteous indignation with the smallest thing as a number plate. There, right when I was putting the shopping in the car, there was a number plate right across from me that says, be the light. Now, to an unbeliever, you may think that's nothing, just a coincidence. But to a believer in God, that is a direct and blatant smack in the face from God saying, you know better. And you know what? I do. See, God works in mysterious ways, and we do not have an answer for everything, but he keeps us rooted to him. I come from having a license plate that was focused solely on me to now having the focus shifted from me to God. Matthew 5:14 tells us that we are the light of the world, but in order to be the light, we must reflect the light. But how are we rooted to God, and what is this light that I'm even talking about? Now, with that in our minds, and as well as what Gloria has just told us about how our hope cannot be placed in man, please welcome up Lena.
Lovely to be here again. I always say that this is such a wonderful opportunity, and you know, when I start working my talk and I start doing research, I just realize, I said, Lord, it doesn't even matter about the numbers, who's going to be there or not, because it's just such a privilege to, you know, like be forced, you know, because if you don't have a talk, you're not really going to go and, you know, do research and be in the Word and look up things. And it's always such a wonderful privilege. And my talk, I just want to dedicate it to God and give him all the glory, because honestly, it's just really amazing. So I am so happy that you are all here, and I hope that you're going to have a blessed time this evening. The title of my talk is Hope, the anchor of this our soul. Now you'll see in the leaflets, the passage that I'm going to be speaking on is on there. I'm not going to be actually reading it out because I'm going to be going through it. So just be mindful of it. And when I say verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, you can just see that for yourself. So the old sailor looked at the skies and saw a dark storm coming. As the sea became rough and choppy, the old sailor calmly lowered the heavy chained anchor, link by link, battened down the hatches, and went to bed for the night. He knew the storm would be rough, but he had faith in the grasp of the anchor. He knew his boat would be there in the morning. Like that sailor, we have an anchor for our lives. They can help us stand fast through the storms of life. It is called hope. Ladies, it is my desire that my talk this evening would give you an understanding as to, firstly, what is this hope? And secondly, in what are we hoping? We will be looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. As I said, it's in the leaflets. And hopefully we can glean from this little passage what this hope is about. Now, the Bible is full of examples of men and women who hoped in God's promises. The patriarch Abraham is held up for believers as a model of hope. We read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, that when Abraham was 75 years old, God promised to bless him and give him many descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham heard these words and believed God. But despite his belief, Hebrews 6 verse 15 reminds us that Abraham had to wait 25 years to see the fulfillment of this hope. Yet, all the while, Abraham trusted in God, the author of his hope, until he saw the promise come to pass. You see, Abraham's hope wasn't in his own ability to father a child. It was rooted in a trustworthy, unchangeable God and his eternal promises. We too are encouraged in Hebrews 10, verse 23, to hold fast the confession of our hope. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, reminds us to be ready to provide a reason for our hope. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, we can see how God has gone the extra mile in seeing to it that we have strong encouragement to hold fast to our hope in him. He wants us to have strong encouragement in the assurance that all his promises will come true for us and that our future is firmly in his hand for our good. God wants to press upon our minds and hearts his desire and purpose for us to have strong encouragement, to hold on to our hope in him, not to drift into false hopes offered by the world. God wants us to have full assurance of hope. No weak, no flimsy hope, but a strong, full, confident hope. This is God's desire for us. And God not only makes promises to his children, but he takes an oath and swears by himself that he will bless them. So there are two things, not just one. There's a promise and an oath that secure our hope. In verse 18, it says that God took an oath in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. In other words, He wants us to have strong encouragement to lay hold on the hope he has sworn will be ours. God wants us to take encouragement from his character and hope in him. In fact, the scriptures describe this hope as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. I love that, an anchor for the soul. Ladies, I know that everyone here this evening has need of this hope. The author of Hebrews was writing to people who were facing hardship and persecution because of their Christian faith. A few were tempted to abandon Christ to return to Judaism. He is urging them to persevere by putting their focus on the superiority of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has provided. He is trying to instill in them biblical hope, not just a positive, cheerful disposition, but a steady attitude of joy based on the promises of God who cannot lie. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding the things that are unseen, unclear, and unknown. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, the conviction of the things not seen." The New Testament idea of hope is the recognition that in Christ is found the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Christian hope is rooted in faith in the divine salvation in Christ. It is the future hope of the resurrection of the dead, eternal glory, eternal life, and the inheritance of the saints, the return of Christ, the salvation of God, or simply Christ himself. The writer of Hebrews uses a metaphor used only here in the Bible of an anchor. But instead of going down into the ocean, this anchor goes up into the heaven behind the curtain where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. Jesus has become our high priest forever. Hope defined. John Piper, a modern day Reformed Baptist preacher, explains this eloquently in his sermon called Hope Anchored in Heaven. And I will be quoting from his sermon because the way he explained the anchor was so inspiring and encouraging to me, and I am sure this will bless you too. God gives us this image of an anchor in verse 19. What is the anchor in this image? It says, "This hope we have as an anchor." This hope that is spoken of here is a future objective reality that you hope for. In other words, it is heaven. So heaven is my hope. Piper asserts this answer in verse 18. It says that we are to have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge, in laying hold of the hope set before us. The hope is something set before us. It is heaven, and the blessing promised, and the sum of all the good that God has sworn to be for us in Jesus. Piper goes on further to explain that this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. In other words, what anchors our soul is not our subjective confidence. Ladies, it's not in our strength and in our might or our ability. What anchors our soul is the sure objective reality that God has promised, which is heaven. This is our anchor. And this is what we are to lay hold of. So let's move on to the certainty of our hope. So we can be certain that we have that what we are hoping for is absolutely sure. The Hebrew writer uses three descriptions of the anchor to emphasize this. In verse 19b, he calls the anchor the hope, and he says it is both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the curtain. This is a reference to the curtain that hung across the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle and concealed the Ark of the Covenant, where God, in his glory, met with the Old Testament priests, high priests, once a year, as they brought a blood sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. So ladies, if you are wondering what is the point of saying that our hope is an anchor lodged in the heavenly Holy of Holies, where God's glory dwells, the answer can be found in verse 20. This is where Jesus has gone as a forerunner for us, which means we will enter with him someday. And Jesus has gone as our high priest with his own infinitely precious blood and his own indestructible life, so that his atoning work for us is perfect and lasts forever. So our anchor, our promised future, is sure, it is steadfast, and it is the finished and purchased work of Jesus, our high priest. A work that is complete in that Jesus shed his blood for our sins and taking it himself into the presence of God to plead the case of those he purchased. Isn't this just truly remarkable? So what is the anchor of your soul? Now ladies, this is just a reminder that this part of John Piper's sermon is what really touched my heart and brought me so much joy. The Bible is truly the living word of God, and we will never cease to learn and be amazed by God's word and by what we discover when we go into his word. As John Piper put it, we must ask ourselves this question: is the anchor of my soul as firmly attached to my soul as it is to the altar of God? In other words, is the picture here of an anchor with its hook and chain bound unbreakably to the altar of God so that nothing could loosen it from that end, but with the rope just hanging out of heaven in the air? Is this telling us to take hold of the loose end of this rope in our own strength, and we will have safety, firmness, and assurance? Would that give us a sense of security and confidence and hope? The answer is no. Ladies, it wouldn't. Piper goes on to explain that it would be like if someone said, "I have fitted your boat with a good, solid, heavy anchor that will grip any sea bottom, but I have not made it fast to the boat. Would that give you confidence?" Thankfully, this is not the image that the Hebrews author had in mind here. When he says in verse 19 that we have an anchor of the soul, he means that the anchor is firmly anchored in heaven, and the anchor is firmly attached to the Christian soul. I pray, ladies, that you are all getting a deep sense of God's sovereign care for you, for your perseverance, hope, and encouragement. Our salvation is secure because it rests on the promise and unchangeable purpose and character of God. It is not our feeble grasp of him, but his firm hold on us that secures our hope. So what we see is that God is not inconsistent. He does not exert himself with promises and oaths and the blood of his Son and the eternal priesthood of Jesus simply to anchor down one end of our security while leaving the other to dangle in the air. The salvation Jesus obtained by his blood was everything it takes to save his people, not just part of it. But why does God tell us to hold fast to this hope? Is it because what Christ bought for us when he died was not the freedom from having to hold fast, but the enabling power to hold fast? So ladies, I encourage you this evening with all my heart to reach out and take hold of that for which you have been taken hold of by Christ. The storms of life will come, but be encouraged and confident that your anchor is securely anchored to both your soul and in heaven by the finished and complete work of Jesus Christ. It is only when we look to the truly firm foundation for living, which is Jesus Christ, that we will find a hope that can anchor our souls. It all begins with our relationship with God. If you have not been born again, your hope is simply misplaced. Often, we hope in the wrong things. It is so easy to place our hope in this material world, what we can see, taste, touch, and feel. These things are controllable to us, but they are fickle. God says his kingdom is not of this world. In fact, the things of this world do not provide a firm foundation for our lives. Ladies, if you're feeling hopeless right now, consider where your primary hope is grounded. If it is not in Jesus, come to him now to find a hope unlike any other. Jesus offers his hope freely to all who willingly come to him, acknowledging and repenting of their sins and trusting in his cleansing blood for eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This invitation is beautifully expressed in the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These are the words that Jesus Christ is speaking even now, at this very moment, speaking to you individually. Christ Jesus is the Savior who is now alive in heaven, and he is speaking directly to you, saying, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And that is where your hope lies. God's people can be positive about the future because God repeatedly states that a time is coming when everything will be perfect for us. There may be trials and difficulties along the way for now, but ultimately we look forward to a time of endless goodness. So no matter how bleak life may or may not seem at the moment, we can be confident that the best is yet to come. This is called hope. Let's look at building a foundation of hope. So how did Abraham do it? How did he remain hopeful for more than 2 decades? Let's look at Abraham's relationship with God. He was a friend of God. He was also God's servant, and he was totally obedient. And here are four practical steps that we can take every day to apply so that we can build a sure foundation of hope that will carry us through the storms of life. The first one, we have to submit ourselves to God. God is sovereign. He is in control of everything. God is the source of our hope. Come to Him in humility, and He will restore you. Secondly, strengthen your faith. Allow God's fulfilled promises in His Word to renew your hope. God has given us written record of countless ways He has provided hope for believers in centuries past. Look at these marvelous accounts in His Word for renewal. Consider how much Christ has suffered for your hope. Thirdly, pray earnestly that God would open your mind and heart to this greatness and this certainty and incline you to hope in Him. And this kind of hope, purified in the crucible of waiting and sometimes suffering, does not disappoint. And fourthly, we should help each other to do these things and encourage one another in our small groups to stay devoted to Jesus, our hope. God tells us to exhort each other every day to lay hold of hope. We should rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And as a testimony to hope, now ladies, you may recall the horrific church shooting incident that happened recently in Texas. It actually happened on the 5th of November, when a deranged gunman entered a small, homely church, much like ours, where about 50 parishioners were worshipping on a Sunday morning. And he started methodically just shooting everyone as they were sitting in their pews. The gunman walked up and down the congregation, and he just kept shooting. Witnesses say that the shooting lasted up to 7 minutes. And in so doing, he killed 26 parishioners, aged 5 years to 72 years old, along with an unborn baby, and injuring many more. I was already working on this talk when this horrific story broke out in the news, and it gave me pause to think. Where did these parishioners' hope lie when this demon-possessed gunman was walking slowly up and down, reloading his rifle a couple of times and shooting everyone in sight, right before their eyes? Where did their hope lie? And in whom did they have this hope? When this untold evil is happening, and he couldn't care to even save a single soul. He didn't want to spare a single soul at all. Is this the same hope that the surviving parishioners and the bereaved families hold on to? The fact that they were in the act of worshipping God when the gunman descended upon them filled me with such peace and intense hope for them. I was elated to see the results of this Christian hope reflected in the surviving eyewitnesses' account, because it was clear that their hope was rooted in Christ, the anchor of their soul. Now, this secular media report headline should give us encouragement. The headline said, 1 week after Texas church shooting, a Sunday service offers hope. And John Cornyn, a U.S. senator, remarked after that service, and I quote, "It is clear that they are people of deep faith, And that is what sustains them and gives them hope, even during dark times like this. Now, reading this observation from a secular point of view, I wasn't reading a Christian media thing, it was secular. It just filled me with so much joy, knowing that these survivors and their families have got their hope firmly anchored in Christ. And as a result, the peace of Jesus, the peace that the world does not recognize or understand, is carrying and strengthening them as they lay hold of the hope set before them. The certain hope of our future salvation is an anchor to steady our souls while we wait on God in present storms. So we see, ladies, the main reason a ship needs an anchor is to ride out the storms so that it is not blown off course or into the rocks or reefs nearby. Even in a safe harbor, a ship needs an anchor so that it will not drift, hit something, and sink. We too need an anchor for our souls so that we do not destroy our lives. We have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place, the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone before us as our high priest. Let us lay hold on that for which Jesus has already laid for us. Ladies, have you lost hope? You can regain lost hope with Jesus' help. Right now, turn to the author of all hope and rest in him and his finished work. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for not always seeing you as you truly are. Please use your word to encourage us. Help us to hide it in our heart. Let your Holy Spirit direct us moment by moment as we wait in the hope you have given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lena and Gloria, for the message that you have given us all. If I may just conclude with a thought that our pastor gave to us as Gloria and Lena were preparing for their talks. All believers are connected to the anchor in Christ who sits on his throne. And this anchor of hope is shared by all of us sisters in Christ. There is only one anchor, and that is God. One hope that is shared by all, that is united by the purchase of Christ when he died on the cross for us sinners, so that we can be enabled by his Spirit to give all the glory to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as Lena said, I wonder if anyone here tonight may have had their hope misplaced in something else. Thank you again for spending this Friday evening with us. If you have any questions, thoughts, anything, please do come and see us. I would just like to close in prayer. Father God, as I lift my eyes to the hills, where does our help come from? It comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. You are our provider. You come to us in times of need and give us a hope that we can grab onto that is anchored to you. It is only by your grace that we are here and by your will that we are able to hear your words spoken through Gloria and Lena tonight. I thank you for the gift of teaching from these ladies tonight. I pray that you will bless them deeply as they continue to speak your truth. Bless everyone that came tonight, Father. Be with them as they travel home and show yourself to them. Father, I pray that your will be done. In the name of your Son and Saviour, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Ladies, If you would like to be informed about our future events, please come and see me. I'll be creating like an email database so we can just send through emails to anybody who wants to come in the future. We also have a flyer on the table there of our upcoming Christmas services. I would invite you to take one, take a couple, invite anyone. If you have nowhere to go, you're welcome to come here to celebrate Christmas with us. Thank you again.